and all the members from ICC. Our support staff is led by the committee secretary, Nala, present to you all this morning. I hope that today you won't be here till 5 o'clock. And as I've seen the even the presentation from the department is not that much. I hope that we'll be out of here by half past twelve. Our program, in fact, our agenda for today, we were supposed to be starting with the consideration and adoption of minutes. We will do that immediately when we are through with the department. So we'll start with the department, and then immediately after, we will deal with that. But I want to plead with a lot of members today, because we sometimes have to ask the department to send responses because of the way we comment and question. So today, in fact, as from today, moving onwards, I will time you. If I say 5 minutes, if you continue after 5 minutes, I stop you immediately. So you must bear with me, because we want the department to respond here, not to send reports. It must be something that we have requested that should be sent to us, not the response. I will then, DM, hand over to you. Oh, sorry, I'm reminded that we have some apologies. Anmala.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning to Honorable Members, DM, DG, and our colleagues. We've got a couple of apologies. The Honorable Matebula and Honorable Chwago on study leave. The Honorable Hicklin, she's undergoing surgery, if I'm not mistaken. Tomorrow, yes. The third one is from Honorable Kopane. She had flight problems in the 50s, so she may or may not join us this morning. And Honorable Nimalo, lastly, Honorable Nimalo will also not be able to join us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Nola. Then we'll hand over to Anne and the team here.
Thank you, Honorable Chair Bassey. Honorable Members, the team from IDT, DG, and your support, officials from Parliament, good morning to you all. Chairperson, let's first appreciate the opportunity and probably add, I know that I would have thought that the Minister's office would have sent an apology, but in case we that was not done, let me take the opportunity to indicate that she's attending the cabinet this morning. It started earlier, so it's not like she does not want to. She doesn't want to be here. It's that just that those responsibilities that we have, and also indicate that the opportunity to talk about and to report on IDT gives us this or provides us the space to clarify issues, especially to the portfolio committee, as from time to time we are expected to keep and obey the laws that we pass. Sometimes we may be irritated by some actions, but it is necessary that we know we as a constitutional country, we play our game by the rules that we ourselves have set. I'm raising this, Chair. I know that it may be improper to raise it at the beginning of the meeting, but I think that if we don't raise it, it may create problems even in the future in terms of how we handle sensitive reports and issues. As the committee, IDT is not the first time that they were reporting here. There may be issues that we saw irritable about, but in so far as how we handle those, we need to be sensitive to the fact that there are human beings at IDT who are working there, who are subject of the rights in our constitution. There are procedures that we as Parliament set in terms of how we handle matters of performance of organizations. And therefore this, I found it a bit insensitive yesterday in Parliament when one of the honorable members of the committee was saying, IDT must go, because that will raise anxiety amongst the people that are in IDT. Whilst we, as the people given the responsibility to ensure proper management of whatever processes we engage in, we will be seen, all of us, as being insensitive. And therefore, you know, in my previous life as speaker of another legislature, we had a rule that a matter that is the subject of a portfolio committee cannot be raised, because we said that is preemptuous of what would finally be the outcome of the engagements in the committee. So we were very strong and strict to say, if a matter is before a committee, don't go and talk about it outside of the committee. Until the committee has decided and reported to the House, then you are free to talk about it. So it was a bit, for me, problematic, because now we are inundated by calls to say, why are you not telling us that you are closing? And the workers in that institution now are becoming, are feeling unwanted. There's just anxiety that is growing, because Parliament is broadcast live. Everybody has what to say. So I would want to make this appeal to the committee to say that when we bring matters in confidence, let's end with the care and understanding that there are lives that would be affected by the decisions we make. And therefore we need to handle that with the utmost care. But there is a report, DG will highlight, he's here, he will highlight our engagement, and the CEO of IDT is also here. They will engage with the report. We are here to answer questions that may arise, but I thought that I needed to make the remark so that we don't find ourselves in future having to withhold information to the committee because we don't know what's going to come out of it. And I thought that I needed to just preface the report with those few words, Chairperson. Thanks for the opportunity once more. The DG will, as the leader of the delegation, administratively will hand it up. Thank you.
numbers. We have stipulated a presentation which is very, very short. But the issues of the IGC are very huge. The presentation may not cover all of them, but we do also have a source document which supports this presentation. The source document, we may circulate it. We wanted to circulate it earlier, but I think there were some administrative challenges in the department. But we do have the source document, which covers the support that the department provided to the IDT since more than 5 years ago up to now, and the state at which financially the IDT is in terms of the support that we provide as a department. If the Honorable Chair accept, we may circulate it, the source document, just a source document which has got details. Before we make a presentation, should we circulate or
no, it can be distributed.
Okay, thank you much. Same to you. Also, what I want to mention is that the issue of the IDT is not only ceased with us, between us and IDT. It's a matter that we're dealing also with Treasury, because it affects the issues of financial resources of the IDT. We are yet to have a final word with respect to Treasury as to how can we actually work together to ensure that we arrive at a particular conclusion with the issues of the IDT. But I'll want my colleague Devin just take us through, and then we can engage with the
good morning, Chairperson. Thank you for the portfolio from the TM, DG, and leadership staff. As DG has indicated, this presentation is very short. I'm trying to get it onto the screen, but I believe we have copies. So I'll just continue. The presentation basically covers a brief background. We identify the problem statement. It goes on to summarize the issues, in particular in the context of the our problem statement, and proposes a way forward. Established in 1990 as a trust to serve civil society, to empower civil society, and to unlock the potential of communities with the intent of improving the quality of life. To do this, the IET was at that point given a grant of 2 billion rand. And the grant was to be invested in investments from the, or the returns from the, used to fund the function that of IDT. In 1997 was a cabinet decision that refocused IDT. One, it was no longer to be a grant making institution, but more importantly, it was supposed to service communities more directly towards meeting social and economic objectives. And in this regard, that mandate was given to IDT was not expanding further in terms of its funding, etc. So IDT was compelled to then use its own resources to fund this. So a combination of the interest earned as well as the 2 billion rand grant was used And over a period of time, the grants began to get eroded. This kind of put IDG in a predicament financially, and around 2006, there was a financial modeling that was done that informed that the IDG would require funding from 2012. The IDT then began to introduce a cost recovery mechanism, marginal fees charged for its services. But this did not go very well because some departments were not able to pay, or should I say a large number of organizations weren't able to pay, and this further eroded IDT's financial base. As a long-term plan, there was a need to develop a business case that spoke to the financial sustainability of IDT. And this process started, and around 2012, it was reinvigorated after certain issues were not endorsed by National Treasury. This led to extensive consultation across government, etc., and then a revised mandate was presented, as well as a financial model for IDT. Around 2018. Now, the key problem statements is one, the erosion, as I mentioned earlier, the erosion of the capital base of 2 billion rand. The change in mandate played a significant role. IDT was originally a DFI, a development financial institution, and then it became a social delivery institution for government. So a number of measures ought to have been put in place, but was not. IDT was responding at the time to the demands of government and tried to do as best as it could within the resources that it had. Now, with a new mandate, its portfolio began to grow significantly, to the extent that the interest earned led to was being utilized, but the erosion of the capital base increased substantially. So that was from a financial perspective. The cost recovery mechanism weren't responded to appropriately by government departments. So effectively, IDT was being worked for free. And that exacerbated the financial crisis. And lastly is the earlier versions of the business case that was done was not approved. So In summary, we are saying that the change in IDT's mandate was also not expected in terms of its trust deed, which should have spoken through to the change of its mandate in 1997. The issue of IDT being a Schedule 2 entity implies that it is a major public entity. It's supposed to be self-sustaining. This was not effectively implemented simply because of the relationships within government and the need to meet social infrastructure demands. IDT met that, but in terms of recovery, government departments weren't paid. There was no effective mechanism to compel government departments to pay. At one point, there was just thinking of converting IDT to a Schedule 3A, which means we've got partly state funded, but the challenge on that was Schedule 3A is basically mainly a regulatory organization. And IDT was not a regulatory organization, it was a social delivery institution. Collectively, with all the issues we have mentioned earlier, these led to audit findings. And was reported to primarily in the last 2 to 3 years. And there's also been little progress in terms of implementation of the 2018 turnaround plan. But there were issues around that as well. IDT was caught between a rock and a hard place, a mandate saying one thing in terms of its trust deed, and a new function that needed to perform, which if the trust deed was not effective, it didn't necessarily have the mandate. There were issues of mandate creep where other organizations began to play in the field that IDT was. So, the challenges around the turnaround was basically linked to a mandate issue at that point in time. We needed to firm up IDT's mandate in terms of some sort of either amend the trust deed or give effect to it through legislation. So, but effectively, the turnaround statute was not effective or was not fully implemented. So we currently, in terms of the way forward, is where we more or less presented in 2018, was looking at how do we align the mandates of IDT and DPW. And this is what we intend taking forward. Chairperson, thank you. In summary, that's the presentation.
Any change to this?
Over and above this, as we may be aware, the IDT is financially in a very difficult situation because of non-payment by the client's department. We have prepared letters to all the client's departments where IDT has done work to appeal to them to pay the IDT because they've done the work, even if there are disputes. Where there are disputes, we are of the view that the disputes can be discussed and then, but payments must be made to the IDT because they've done the work. That's why they are in this situation. So that we have already done. We are engaging with various client departments to ensure that they come on board and assist the IDT in paying what is due to the IDT. That's what we have already done. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
I now invite honourable members to comment, asking clarity, seeking questions. Honourable Tring, Honourable Siwisa, Honourable Priam, Honourable Marshall, Honourable Njobo. I'll give you 5 minutes on this. I know that there may be questions that will arise from questions or responses, but for this round, I'm giving you members 5 minutes. Yeah, Honourable Tring.
Thank you, Chief. I think my first comment would certainly be with regards to what the Deputy Minister has indicated. I was the member that made that statement in Parliament to us yesterday. Now, let me preempt also what I'm about to say by indicating that as a disciplined member of the ACDP, I would never take information that was supposed to be not taken out of this committee room. Had I known that particular information, some of our discussions was information that needed to stay here, I would never have made that statement. So I think it needs to be very clear to us that if there is information that is being discussed that needs to stay in committee, that needs to be made clear to members. So I think that's my first point. I appreciate the fact that the Deputy Minister indicated that it is sensitive in the sense that there are employees and people that are involved, and so I take that as a pattern oversight in not considering that this could have affected those particular individuals and employees. But Chair, if there is any information going forward that is considered to be in committee and not taken out of the committee, I would appreciate that if we as members are informed beforehand. So I think that being said, the position, Chair, that I stated, I think is a position that we came to with the information that the ACDP, that I have come to, representing the ACDP, with the information that is presented to us, and what is the best way forward. And unfortunately, I think because of time, I actually had to move away from my speech, which also indicated that it's possibly that IDT be assumed and the functions of IDT not necessarily just be closed, but be assumed by a best suited entity, another entity. And I think that maybe that's also possibly what we should be looking at. Is there duplication? is there a duplication of the functions of IDT? Are the functions of IDT being duplicated by another entity? And could there possibly be an amalgamation of those of the entities without employees losing their jobs? So I think that perhaps that's the route that the ACGP would want to put forward. I think the challenges that the IDT have had, as with the presentation that has been put before us, the 2 billion endowment, and then the mandate being changed, gives one the impression that the IDT has been set up to fail with that change mandate. The challenges of clients not paying for work done seems to be one that is also a bit pervasive throughout government. At a local government level, a lot of your municipalities have the same challenge, particularly when it comes to rates and other services provided by municipalities, where government bodies, government entities, government departments seem to drag their feet when it comes to paying for services that have been rendered. So I think, Chair, that is certainly another area, because today it's IDT, tomorrow it's another department. So I think that some tightening up in those particular areas needs to take place. Thank you.
I'm a bit worried. I've been reading this report yesterday of IDT and all the bailouts they've got over the past years. From 2011 to date, they've always been bailed out. And I ask myself what's going to happen in the future, because when we actually say as EFF, as a member of EFF, we are pushing for a state-owned construction company, it doesn't necessarily mean that people are going to lose jobs. It actually means more people will be able to have stable jobs without fearing that they are going to be pushed out of work and everything. Because when you look at all these entities, instead of working together, it seems as if they are working parallel to each other. Because you've got IDT that's supposed to give us structure, social structures, and they are struggling with it because they have to tender these things to somebody, whereby we've got other entities that can actually give us engineers and contractors and everybody. And those engineers and contractors have to fight for the 30% that comes from government. And then the ones that are already rich, benefiting the 70%, as we've heard in the past from CBD, they are the ones, the same people that get 70% are also fighting for the 30%. So what needs to happen with IDT is IDT and all of these other entities need to come under one roof, need to get our own state-owned control. We've got a lot of contractors, we've got a lot of graduates that are sitting at home. I think I concur with Honorable Dring that some of our speeches were too cut down because it was only 2 minutes. Because that's one of the things I was going to emphasize, that with that state-owned construction company, all the people that, because IDT is losing very potential people because there's no stability. People are not sure is IDT, whether Honorable Trin said anything yesterday, people in IDT, employees in IDT, they are not sure whether IDT, is it there, is it not there, what's happening. That's why you are losing so much employees. Whether Honorable Trin said anything yesterday or not, but IDT is losing potential people and going private because they are not sure what's the standpoint of IDT. So we need to do something with IDT. If IDT goes, then it needs to be converted into a state-owned, so that they should be able to provide each and everything that's needed out there. Because at this point, we are not winning that. And I look at that, I look at the report that National Treasury, the Department of Public Works should have asked for a report from National Treasury to say the intervention that you did, has IDT sent a report. We can't be getting a report that says we don't have a report from National Treasury as to whether IDT complied when we gave them money in the past. We should be getting a complete report that says, yes, they complied, they did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, but from 2011 till now, IDT is forever being built out. And unless it's changed into something else, it will forever be built out. You can sit here and come up with turnaround strategies and everything. IDT will forever be built out unless everybody's brought into one umbrella. We get our own state-owned construction company where everybody will know that I've got a stable job until I go to pension. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to start off, and I'm going to fight with IDT. I can't believe all of you who are sitting here today have left your offices and the important work you're supposed to do to bring us this presentation. And I don't mean that in a rude way. It's just that I don't feel I've learned anything now new in terms of what has just been presented. It was just an overview. So I was hoping that we would come together today and we would get a much better understanding of exactly what you're trying to achieve. And like my counterparts, I have a soft spot for IDT. I think I've said it before. I really would love to see this entity succeed. I think there's potential for this entity, and I know I'm going against what most people are feeling, and I apologize to my committee members, but I do believe that there's a space and a place for IDT. I think your first problem is in your in under purpose, where you say that you want to escalate the transformation of the IDT into a properly resourced, socially relevant entity that is enabled to project manage social infrastructure projects. You're not stating here that you want to be a centre of excellence. You're not stating here that you want to be the only infrastructure company that government uses. And I think that needs to be the direction you take. You need to be the only company or entity that every client department comes to and says, I want you to build my clinic, I want you to build my hospital, I want you to manage it. This entity has proven that it's capable of doing that. We've seen the results of it. So there's no reason why it can't be a source of excellence. So I think you need to change your focus and start focusing on becoming a center of excellence that is the only entity that anybody would want to use going forward. The other thing that I wanted to say, GTAC, you referenced that under the restructuring of the IDT. I don't know what GTAC stands for. Maybe I'm the only one who doesn't understand that. Also, on the transfers made to IDT to date on slide 9, the IDT has been undergoing an organizational restructuring process for the past 7 years. Good grief. Surely after 7 years, we should have some sort of idea of where this entity is going and what it's trying to achieve. You can't be restructuring for 7 years and then say, well, we can't understand why we're not doing well or why we're getting disclaimers or unqualified audit opinions. I think what needs to happen, and it's something I keep pushing, you need policy, you need something that's going to give direction to this entity, and then that needs to be finalized so that the entity can actually start to operate effectively. And then one of the things that my colleagues have raised is that there's this so much cross-cutting that happens in this department across the entities where people are duplicating work, nobody knows what their proper mandate is, so you've got one group doing training, and you've got another entity doing training or whatever. We need to focus each entity so that each entity knows exactly which lane they're supposed to be operating in. They do their job, they become excellent at what they're supposed to do, and others do the same. One of the things that I've picked up recently, and I don't know if my other colleagues are aware of it, I didn't know that IDT was running EPWP projects. CEO. I see it is in the annual report, and I'd obviously miss that. But I can't understand, one of the issues we have in the department is EPWP. It is that things are not being properly managed, that we're not getting proper feedback, there's no proper mandate around EPWP. But then you've got entities that are running EPWP projects through NGOs or whatever. So I think that's also something that needs to be looked at, because I had no idea that this was a function of IDT, and I don't think it is a function of IDT, because you should be in terms of the build as opposed to in terms of the job creation. I mean, I know the two work closely together, but then there needs to be, I think EPWP needs to be specialized on its own. It can't be across every department, because I don't think it's being properly managed, but that's just my personal opinion. The implementation of the 2018 turnaround strategy, I mean it's really concerning that we still don't have a proper mandate, and that's making it impossible for the organization to move forward. So again, I think we need to look at where that mandate is coming from. We need to look at policy, we need to look at legislation and decide whether or not that's the way to go. And then finally, the construction industry is at its lowest ebb. It has never, ever been in such a dire situation. And part of the problem is that government's not building. I heard yesterday that 25% of the year has passed, the financial year has passed for municipalities. The city of Cape Town has spent 6% of its capex. I'm wrapping up. And that means that construction companies are not getting work, IDT is not in a position to implement, etc., etc. We need to be stimulating growth in the construction industry.
As I indicated, I'm giving you 5 minutes. I will give you 2 minutes or 1 minute on the second round. But 5 minutes for now, please time yourself correctly. Honorable Moshe.
Well, there's the stopwatch.
Yes.
That's it. I received this presentation yesterday when I was seated in Parliament. I wondered whether the one who prepared the document was preparing for this meeting, or that person takes this meeting seriously. It cannot be chair, deputy minister. Unfortunately, the minister is not here. And there is a habit of us receiving apologies from the neighbors. But I'm going to take a dim view now on this apology. I'm on this document that is presented before us. We have an institution that is not doing well. We are presented the Bermuda of issues. And we are not even given a light to say, this institution says we have got this problem, probably this is what we think could be the solution into this problem. Now it becomes difficult for us to enter into this thing when the people who are entrusted with the responsibility of driving this institution shows a lack of concern into the affairs of the institution. Deputy Minister, I think this situation is not proper, Chair. We must not come here and do PR exercise that the Portfolio Committee have invited us and take such a long time to produce the 5-page slide view document, which does not even arrive to us on time so that we peruse it. Really, this whole team took the whole month to prepare this document in front of us. We're not taken seriously. We are not Hollywood stars who come there and sing every day. We want an institution to come to us and say, this is our challenges, this is what we think could be done, so that we can engage. If I can say close this document, or if we move out of this meeting and somebody says, what is IDT telling us?
I really wonder what is it that will tell society out there. DM, I chair, like I'm saying, I find it difficult to say what would be my contribution in relation to what is presented before. We are being given snippets of issues and even problem statements, your summary, you raise issues. There has not been any progress made in implementing the turnaround strategy. Then so what? You want us to comment when you tell us that you have not implemented the turnaround strategy? Probably there is nothing wrong with a failure to implement, and it's us who must come here and speak a lot around this issue. Your way forward, you say there's an intention. There's an intention to submit a memorandum to cabinet. Who is this cabinet that you move all the way from Gauteng to come here and tell us that you are intending to submit a memorandum to? What do you want us to do? Do you want us to assist you go grab that cabinet? Bring the cabinet to you. Check. The committee must be taken serious. Deputy Minister, I only have one message that I think you must pass to the minister. The minister must take us serious to the portfolio committee. When we invite you here, come to us, present your challenges. Let us all share the frustrations that we have and also show us what is that you are doing. We are not in a talk show here. We have an interest to say these are the issues, this is how all of us can try and build South Africa moving forward. I submit, Chair, and I don't know what I submitted. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Unkavile Honorable Marshall kule nto ye-way forward ngoba uma kuthiwa i-IDT inama-challenges siqale ukwazi even nala parliament ukuthi there is challenges but even today ukuba kuthiwa ke kunaleyo memorandum to the cabinet ayinayo DM into ene time frame ukuthi si submite last month last week then according to the cabinet after they receive the memorandum what will happen is just a statement so mhlawumbe ukuba ingaba nayo into ethi now we submitted this then kuzokwenzakalani and DG kunabo sister department supposed to pay abangabhatali yet we have into ethi 30 days payment ukuthi when it comes to this issue of IDT ithini time frame akunanto eyi 30 days is just uhlale ulinde ukuthi kuyoba ne-payment kanjani but bona aku akuhambe kahle DG for example une uminister of health uMzwalidi ureize into ethi kwa-home affairs akunama-offices bayarenta or leases but u-public works ayikho DG ilan khamuka ngakhona i-building ekuthiwa le home affairs yakhiwe ku-public works bayarent or kuyaliswa or 20 years especially le ngasekhaya kuze kunomzu womuntu olisiwe for 20 years for u-home affairs so I'm trying to say as much as ziba khona izinto but kukhona la kufanele khona as Department of Public Works nikwenze kwenzeke kungaze always nihlale boardroom nibuke just as i-members of parliament thina siye senza ama-oversight siyobuka I think nani as department you can go to do the oversight ukuthi kungaba kuhamba kahle na noba bekhona abantu bama provinces but just change way of doing things. That's true.
Honourable Professor Kirby.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I want to repeat that what the other honourable members said, but safe to say that I'm equally concerned about the state of affairs, but also in terms of the kind of treatment that we receive from this industry. Chair, there's been an instruction that has been issued by National Treasury in 2014-15 financial year. And that related to the payment by the management fees paid that was supposed to be paid by the different departments. So my question would be, if we look at the current state of affairs, would you then say that that instruction was not effective properly or effective properly, and what measures of enforcement were made provision for in terms of receiving the money from the different departments? And if you've received money based on the outcome from the instruction, how many departments and municipalities adhere to that? And if not, how did you again remedy that situation to ensure that that instruction really needed to be effected? Because it might be, Chair, that it's just a tick box exercise or by the way thing, because I would assume that that instruction would have been carried amended or some kind of enforcement to be adhered to, but yet we find ourselves in this situation. Then, Chair, when we look at the high level of resignations and retrenchments, people leaving the organization, and one of the possible reasons or some of the reasons that are related is challenges with the physical work environment, high level of uncertainty in terms of the entity's future. Can you just indicate to us what your current state of affairs looks like in terms of your staff establishment? How many vacancies did you have? What is your turnover, staff turnover? And including those positions that are vacant, how many are critical positions? Thank you, Jay.
Okay, thank you, Honorable. Hans Kalvik, just few comments from me, DM and DG. One, I think as this committee, we were told of the challenges facing IDT from the very first time that we met with IDT, and as such, we know them. I think that one must not be an issue that we are told of. But this time we requested you to come here because we wanted to check in about how far are you with transforming IDT. We are informed by you that you are on the process of transforming IDT, but I think I'll come closer to what Honorable Mashele has said. You are still bringing us the challenges of IDT. We don't want that. But we want to know the steps that we have taken to transform IDT, so to be a well-resourced entity, because the challenges that we had is the lack of resources and funds with IDT. The issue of management fees, we know it. The issue of not having budget, we know it. The issue of EE client departments not paying, we know that thing. You have been telling us since day one that we came to this, but now to me, I think the same thing that I'm coming closer to what Honorable Mashele is saying. You're coming with what we know. You're not coming with what we requested from you. I think even the legacy report that we got when we came here has informed us of the steps that you took in the last administration, which some of them you're still repeating them. You had dates, you had timelines in the last administration of issues that were submitted to the cabinet and all that. But today you're not informing that. We want to know, what steps have you taken to transform IDT to be a well-resourced entity? That is what we want to know. And I think I will come closer to what Honorable Mashele said. If you are not prepared to do that to us, then we ask you to come back another time. Because that's what we wanted. We know the challenges of IDT, but we want to know how are we going to change the challenges of IDT. DM, we held this committee at no stage that we discussed that IDT must be closed. But we said that IDT is still necessary, but transform it, change its mandate so that it does its work. Check how do you align it with other departments. There are many proposals that are there, but not to close the shop. That one is not our mandate. But now, DM MTG, I don't want to lie to you. I'm a little bit disappointed in today's presentation because it does not go to what we expected from you when we requested to you to come here. We're dealing with the budget review. I think few weeks ago, and we even applauded that IDT has moved from being having a disclaimer to a qualification. Even there were challenges that were told, and we appreciated that. But now we want to check how far are you with transforming that entity. We still want that entity. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair. We accept the concerns that you have raised. I will actually indicate in terms of responding to some of the concerns that have been indicated that have been mentioned here, because it is true that the presentation does not respond to the questions as you requested us to respond. Indeed, I think there might have been a lot of work that have been done, but that lot of work didn't have anything in it because there's no outcome as yet. There are a lot of administrative processes that are taking place between ourselves and the IDT and also Treasury, but there's no outcome as yet. To the extent that it becomes very difficult for us to present anything because the outcome is not there. I will ask my colleague who's going to talk a bit about what we did with the assignment that we gave to GTEC. GTEC is a government technical assistance unit which resides in National Treasury, which assists organizations like us and IDT and the state to assist in various factors. And also one of the factors, that's why I said there's no report, is that we're not yet concluded as the sixth administration in terms of even reconfiguring the department to look at the mandate as already provided. We were given time up to the end of December to conclude everything. It is not yet concluded. There are a lot of engagements that are taking place with other departments to ensure that at the end of the day, we have something that is concrete that we can present to Parliament. At this stage, I can say everything that we're going to present, it will be just processes, not something concrete. There's nothing concrete as yet. And then also the question that was raised as to the intention to go to Cabinet. I think it is premised on the investigation was sanctioned by the Deputy Minister to say we must actually engage with the IDT to develop a status report as to where we are, which status report the Honourable Committee has, and then out of which a decision must be prepared to approach Cabinet to assist the IDT and come up with a model as to how the IDT should look like in the current administration. So that one is ready, but it's not something that is there, because there's no result as yet. There should be a result which can say, yes, you have decided this way you are, then what is the action plan going forward? I will ask my two colleagues, and I'll also ask the IDT to cover the issue of the staff in terms of those who are leaving the organization as to how many are there and so on. But let's start with the colleagues.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, honorable members. I think I'll respond maybe to two issues. Indeed, honourable committee members, as I look at the subject of today's meeting, it's very clear. It speaks about the necessary steps that we have taken to escalate the transformation of the IDT into a properly resourced, socially relevant entity. And it also says, as well as the collection of necessary management fees. So there are two issues there as I look at them. So in terms of, I would just respond directly to those two issues, but in keeping with what DG has indicated, that we don't have a final product as yet. In terms of the administrative processes, Honorable Chairperson, we manage the IDT. Now, in managing the IDT, we've got engagements with the IDT very often. Obviously, since the new political heads, we also had to greet them. We've had meetings with the DM, actually on the 7th of August, to be specific, where we take them through the challenges of the IDT. Now, in terms of some of the resolutions that came from the fifth administration, the one key issue was, we know, as Chairperson has indicated, we know the history, we know everything that has happened, how do we go forward? What is the process of taking forward this IDT? There was an engagement with National Treasury. This engagement was for National Treasury to assist us by availing the technical team who will work with some of the people that the previous minister has appointed to establish what we call a task team. This task team was to look at the future of the IDT in this sense. The National Treasury will avail the GTEC, the Government Technical Advisory Committee, who will look into the status of the IDT with a view to provide the financial model, the HR model of the end state of the entity. We had a picture of what IDT could be as an end state, but we wanted this final thorough assessment with empirical evidence from the GTEC. That exercise was actually meant to start in this financial year, but because of the changes, we needed to hold on that process so that we can brief the political heads. So this is where DG says that there's no product as yet, but there are engagements. There is a task team that has been established in the department, and that we have already engaged with the GTEC. We had already started with the drawing of the project charter, as well as the terms of reference of this project, the GTEC team. They had already indicated the timelines, how long it would take for them to do that exercise. At the time, they had indicated that they would do this by the end of the financial year, which is next year, 31st of March 2020. So, but we've had to hang on a bit on that exercise. So that's as far as the issue of the end state of the IDT is concerned and the administrative processes that we undertook. In terms of the collection of the management fees, indeed on the 7th of August, the IDT came to brief the Deputy Minister about the challenges of collecting money from the client departments. And in terms of assisting them, we had to first get information from the IDT so that we can communicate as public works and infrastructure with those client departments. So we obtained the information from the IDT so that we can give them the details, and that information was signed off, and we have disseminated that information to the client departments, and there have been some responses from some of the client departments already in terms of engaging IDT with a view of paying the money. So that is the process that we deal with. Other than that, I'm just happy, Chairperson, because you indicated that you are aware of the interventions that we have made in the past, even in 2017, when there was the issue of the turnaround plan, how we came about this turnaround plan and how the department, working together with National Treasury, tried to assist the IDT in order to have a turnaround plan, and how much money was thrown into this turnaround plan, and what progress is there in terms of that turnaround plan. And the CEO can actually speak to that if that is necessary for now. Thank you.
Thank you, DG and Deputy Minister. Honourable members, I'm not going to be very, very long, just to add on the part of the current status quo. Obviously, I will not have the numbers, but perhaps I should just share with the members the situation as it is at the moment. I think we will recognize that any transition has got its own challenges. Obviously, finalized our turnaround plan in 2017, at the end of 2017, which was approved by the ministry. And we also shared the plan with the Treasury. I think that is the process that DG and the chief is referring to, which is still an engagement between the department and GTEC, which is the National Treasury Unit. Now, obviously, these processes that are underway have to be synergized. What we are doing in IDT as part of the turnaround plan is linked to the restructuring process that the department is dealing with. So we have to align what we do at some point in time. We probably also to recognize that any organizational redesign or restructuring has to be managed in such a way that it is effective and the impact is minimized, especially when it comes to human or warm body the people impact. So two things that probably should happen. It has to be done with wider consultation, but it must be done as quickly as possible. Because there are ramifications. The more you delay, the more you create anxiety among the people. So when we finalized our OD, there was a process that the board embarked on, amongst other things, was to approve a new structure. Our old structure had about 441 posts in terms of the staff complement. And now, as you know, we have been trying to refocus the entity towards professionalizing and getting more technical skills compared to the surplus administrative and support staff that we had previously. That required, therefore, we reduce the structure and have a highly focused on technical skills and also focus more building capacity at regional level where our protection centers are currently stationed. Now, in that process, we had developed a comprehensive plan in terms of how we're going to migrate people to the new structure, but also how we're going to resource the new positions that we created. You'll also recall that these new positions will either have complete or upgraded or updated job profiles. You're not going to still have the same job description that you had before. Because as I said, we're looking at a more highly professionalized organization that is going to be efficient. So in so doing, we then had to, in line with the law, in terms of the labor relations, look at what processes need to be followed. There are very clear processes applied in terms of one section 189, which amongst others talk to a very broad consultation process. We have been embarking on consultation with labor unions, and we've so far been able to find one another on a number of things. One of those things, for instance, was, which is part of the process, was that the Labor Relations Act allows for voluntary severance packages, which is a process where people will then assess their own situation against the new vision and the new strategy of the organization and see whether they're still part of the organizational fit. If they feel perhaps now it's about time, some might be over 60 years, they feel, look, I'm old enough now, I should just take a package and go. So that allows that situation to happen on a voluntary basis. So we have embarked on that process. And so far we had about plus minus 45 officials that have actually gone through that process. Now, the dilemma so far is that we don't have the new intake in terms of what we envisage in the plan. Because we envisage that we will then have the old guard going, but we have the new technical skills coming in. But I think on top of that, as the Honorable Member alluded to, those who are highly marketable, they have decided to leave the organization under the uncertainty, especially your technical project managers and others. So we're still struggling to balance that. We do hire new, in order to replace, but again, because of the transition, we have to hire cautiously whilst we are working with the department to say, let's finally get certainty on where we're going together before we can commit to long-term contracts. So we've been trying to get short-term contracts, which is not very helpful because in this environment, you are unable to compete, you know, with your private sector or with even other government departments that would offer permanent positions and so forth. So you are likely to get sub-quality if you are competing in the market for scale. So that's where we are at the moment. We do have a challenge of very low morale in terms of staff because of this uncertainty. But of course, we keep motivating staff, giving feedback, keep them, you know, up to date in terms of where things are going. So I think the effort that now the department is putting to expedite the restructuring is going to assist us, because at least we have timelines in terms of when we are expecting what to happen. Because the biggest challenge now is that we have not replaced those people who left, and the serious threat is within, especially the regional network, in terms of capacity to deliver. We have approached National Treasury with a request for assistance in some of the critical skills which were prioritized, including, I think we reported this last meeting at the committee, the financial skills. But unfortunately, Treasury came back with a negative feedback to say, look, we no longer really have that capacity to assist departments and entities with skills, for instance, on finances and risk management, etc. We're also exploring now other options, including consultation with relevant industry players, especially the councils, to see whether we can get some partnerships along these lines. But we're also consulting with the department in terms of how we can actually address this challenge. So basically, that's the status quo as we speak in the organization. Thank you very much.
you should have covered the issue of the EPWP. We have assigned the responsibility of some of the EPWP work to the IDT because EPWP is a program which is managed by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, but implemented by diverse organizations, both government and non-government. And the IDT is one of them, working with the in the non-state sector. Perhaps you should cover that, CEO.
Thank you, DG. Honorable members, I think this one we also really presented at our, when we were presenting our annual report. The reason why IDT Futsal for Tatars was involved in the EPWP is twofold. One, EPWP is focusing on creation of job opportunities, which is an area that requires a wider consultation with the community stakeholders. And IDT had quite a vast experience working with institutions at ground level, especially the NGOs. So there was a conscious decision taken by government to give IDT the non-state sector element of the EPWP, which is basically working with the NGOs or NPOs to roll out a range of programs, including social programs that are labor intensive, that are able to create jobs, but we also do training and do also a bit of enterprise development. And through our experience in facility, community facilitation, and community engagement, we were then able to do this very successfully. I think our target for EPWP over the, since it started basically, has been very much good. We have actually exceeded our targets in the non-state sector area. So basically that's basically why we are involved in the EPWP program. Obviously, I must say this because sometimes it might be an issue. IDT, when it started in being involved in EPWP, was not even recovering full cost for it. We were really assisting it from the perspective of the developmental agency and also delivering a public good to the citizens of this country. It's only about 2 years ago when we started negotiating with the department for an interest for a reasonable fee that could allow us to break even so that we can recover the cost, so that we can actually make the organization sustainable going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Let me start by probably accepting the criticism from the committee around the quality of the report, because now one also hears it here only. I mean, the brief was, you know, the committee wants to know how far we are with helping or supporting IDT. Now, I never saw the content of the letter from the committee. It was just to say, no, we're going to report on how we are assisting IDT. And probably then when we looked at this, what it is that the department is doing to assist, that's probably where the problem has arisen in terms of the quality. Had we probably seen and properly gotten the letter from the committee in terms of the contents of what the committee expects, we probably would have handled it differently. So my apologies for that one, Chairperson. It's probably a lesson for us too, to not just be told. We probably must now get to a point where you see what is wanted by the committee. We will not run away from the fact. Personally, I'm not here to defend anybody. We will not run away from the fact that there's generally lethargy in the committee. If you go to the very report, slide 10, it will show you that on the 7th of August, the meeting was held. And it details the resolution of the meeting of the 7th of August. And the first one is on seeking legal opinion on the incorrect board. And if you look at the progress, it says the legal opinion has failed. That was the 2nd of, the 7th of August. It's 2 months you're looking for a legal opinion. Now, a legal opinion is that which must assist you to go to a decision. Now, when it does not come, the ability for you to take the decision is withheld. I'm here just saying that whilst we acknowledge that the contents of the response is limited, but if you even deal with that very content, you will realize that the content is in itself, there's some level of lethargy in how we're dealing with the issue, which is really something we're trying to work hard to deal with. But some of the organizational cultures, it's not something you'll come today and dispose of tomorrow. It's a culture that we must work on. That's the first point. The second point is that in as much as there are those legal advice issues that we have sought, but we said that we also have, at the same token, a new mandate as a department. And that mandate includes infrastructure. And I think I had gone at length in one of the meetings to say that there is need for us to relook the entities that support public works, because those entities, their role was primarily on infrastructure. Now that the department is a department of infrastructure, you really need to structure it and reorganize it such that it is able to handle infrastructure. This is the work that DG is saying we've been given up to December. But the issue that is not coming to the fore is the lethargy in which this is being handled, the slowness. Because December is around the corner. There are issues that we said must be advised on, which as yet are not resolved, which in fora like this, in as much as we would raise it internally, we must be able to use the opportunity to highlight the fact that the pace needs to be upped a bit in terms of what we need to do. especially with IDT, because for me, I was saying IDT is a priority because IDT is already in trouble, and we cannot sustain IDT in the manner. We even said in the meeting, by the time the financial processes, the financial year ends, by this financial year ends, we had agreed that by that time, everything that affects IDT must be a thing of the past, so that we go into the next financial year, which is the first year of us implementing the TEMS mandate, with those issues being issues of the past and with a proper structure organizationally. And therefore, we really are in the space where whilst we trying to assist, but you don't get this sense of urgency that one would have loved to find in the department, which is probably, you would say, you can't raise that with us. But I do want to share it as one of the issues that will hinder our progress in dealing with the issue of IDT. We've already met with the minister, the two of us, with the DG and some of the DDGs, to try and engage in how we deal with the departmental issues, because here, it's not IDT per se that should be responding. It is the department in terms of what the department it is that it is doing. And I'm saying, using the opportunity of the realigned department, we should be taking that opportunity and grabbing it faster to ensure that come next financial year, our house is a house that reflects public works as well as infrastructure under one roof. But the slowness, it's something that one in the new space is kind of begging to deal with. But I think that in terms of our decision making with the minister and the direction we want to go is to ensure that we have this one department of infrastructure with all your entities that are in the space of infrastructure being all managed in a manner that it makes them to be under one roof. That hence we were saying, relook the mandate of all the entities, not just IDT alone, because even other entities will be affected by this in one way or another. So I would also want to remind the committee that there is that commitment on our side, which we would want to drive as quickly as we can, but at times the slow response and the way government operates frustrates some of us. My last point is on, I've dealt with the infrastructure, but also the level of reasoning. I mean, for me, if a letter says this and you interpret it and you limit, you straitjacket it. There's some work of capacity building that needs to be done, of pushing from our side as political leadership, of pushing the administrators such that they are able to reason at the level that when you receive a letter, you are able to interpret it in a manner that projects the high level of thinking and reasoning. those are challenges that the department has, and they will come out in various forms. Chair, allow us to go and work on that one, because it's something that the committee can't do anything about. It requires us to again go back and box. But I think that with the direction of all entities, we have given this that says, look at all their mandates, see how you realign them. That requires an OD kind of expertise, which is quick to respond. Unfortunately, we seem to be lacking on that one, which is going to require DG and his team to go back and work on quite urgently. Yeah, those are the 2 points that I thought I needed to work on. But on the very first comment, probably it's because in some of the meetings some members are present, some are not. Because on this issue we have kind of highlighted that we would want to go this route at some point, but there is a lot of consultation, which is not only consultation because we want to consult. It is consultation because it is necessary to consult in terms of our constitution, in terms of our laws. That IDT was created through a cabinet decision. And therefore, if there is anything that you need to do about IDT, you must go back to the founding body. You must go back to cabinet. And the process to cabinet is not an overnight process. I don't sleep today and say this must go to cabinet tomorrow. There's a consultation process to get a cab memo to cabinet, both from internally in the organization and your sub-committees of cabinet before it reaches cabinet. At least that process has been started with all the witnesses. That one has been started, the process that seeks to consult with cabinet first, because we must go back to IDT to say this is now the decision of cabinet. We had consulted with them as IDT to say go and relook your status and your structure, and because we also want to give them this opportunity to think about themselves. Once cabinet decides in terms of the options that we would put in front of cabinet, once that happens, we go back to IDT to say, cabinet has taken this decision. Now it becomes an internal process of IDT to consult their own stakeholders. So it's not a thing that you sleep today and you're done with tomorrow. And that process, we will try to push it, because the longer we stay with uncertainty, the more damage that takes place at the organizational level. So I do want us to just be aware of that commitment and that pace of decision making that is necessary for us to drive as quickly as we can. Thank you, Chairperson. But it's again not to close. There is no option to close. Let me upfront declare that there is no option to simply close. That is why we're saying once the options that are there, the option to close down is not one of them. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, DM. I think even as this committee, we're not saying IDT must be closed down, but the change of minded and transformation. I will then allow a lot of members, but this time only 2 minutes, the second round of comments and questions. Honorable Tring, Honorable Sewisa, Honorable Shabalala, welcome. Honorable Kompade, Honorable Mashele. Please, Honorable Sanskalvi, you must raise your hand. Okay, the last one is Honorable Mashele.
In my previous 5 minutes, I took 2 minutes. Maybe I could take that.
No. We don't have that here.
Okay. Chair, I think it must be remembered what our role is as MPs, and that's the role of actually giving oversight. And it's the role of holding the different entities that come under our oversight purview, holding them to account. And so when it comes to the IDT or any other entity, that has to be, I think, firm foremost in the minds of this particular committee and the members that sit on this particular committee, is to hold the different entities to account. Secondly, Chair, I want to just indicate the Auditor General's report is certainly concerning with regards to the IDT. If one just looks at very quickly, the IDT does not recognize revenue due to it. The Auditor General unable to determine if any adjustments were necessary. All material aspects of the financial statements submitted not prepared in accordance with the prescribed financial reporting. The AG unable to obtain sufficient appropriate evidence that disciplinary steps were taken. Investigations not conducted into all allegations. And Chair, it's all there for us to read. So I think that very concerning just in terms of what the Auditor General is saying. And so when MPs come down hard on the IDT, it's for this particular reason, with regards to the information that is being presented to us. I think secondly, Chair, if one looks at bailouts, transfers that were given through the IDT from 2011 to date, it's some 544 million. 544, that's my quick calculation in terms of what is being presented to us. I agree with the Deputy Minister, this cannot go on. We have a responsibility as MPs to ensure that the funds, taxpayers' money, is used as judiciously and as efficiently as possible. This is not judicious. This is not efficient use of taxpayers' money. And so when one takes the hard stance that perhaps it's better to close it down, this is the reason. Now, what then is the option? If it's not closed down, what then is the option? Now, the legal opinion provided, and I'm looking at page 14. Page 14, the legal opinion was that highlighted the difference between, and I'm reading, the difference between the major, between a Schedule 2 and a Schedule 3 public entity was that the first has greater managerial autonomy, mm-hmm. while public entities listed as Schedule 3 enjoy lesser degree of autonomy. And the loss of greater autonomy might be one of the reasons that the IDT reviewed its initial suggestion to be rescheduled. Mm-hmm. So is it because the IDT does not want to lose its greater autonomy and not being held accountable as Schedule 3? So it's concerning, and this, I'm reading from the documents here. Finally, I think my final comment would be that, you know, the President set the tone in terms of reshuffling. He reshuffled Cabinet. We should not be afraid to reshuffle the IDT. Thank you.
Next, Honourable Member, but Honourable Tring, the document you are having, it's a research document, not from the department.
It's fine. I'm reading from the research one.
Thank you, Chair. You know, when it comes to this, EPWP is giving me sleepless nights. I don't want to lie. And now with IDT, DPWI, they say some of these EPWP are workers for government and non-government organizations. And what we know is that some of these workers are actually exploited. Some of these workers are actually exploited. Because if I can ask the Deputy Minister as to actually an unskilled EPWP worker, notice that person actually supposed to be paid, because there are different amounts in different provinces in different municipalities for the same work that's been done. So I hope that something will be done about EPWP, because it's a crisis where we don't know actually what's the purpose of EPWP. You say creation of job opportunities, but actually what's actually happening with EPWP? Because we've been told about giving people skills, but I haven't seen anyone until they got a skill from EPWP, unless we take somebody who goes for a learnership, who's got a certain qualification and been taken in. But the person that doesn't have a matric and been taken in under EPWP, they are not actually given skills. So this EPWP is a headache for all South Africans, not only us as we are sitting here, because we sometimes see some of these workers as to what they are actually doing. But what I know is, I wonder if Deputy Minister, maybe in future, you can tell us, Ukuthi, how much does an unskilled EPWP worker supposed to get paid? Because they don't get paid what they are supposed to be getting. You look at the province, they get so much, the other province, they get paid. So I hope next time we'll also be able to deal with this EPWP issue in the presentation that's coming up of the department itself. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine would be around what we have discussed previously and had emphasized on the issue of the transformation. For me, the issue of transformation is about the configuration and what you will find the space to put the ICT. And I'm looking forward to have a situation where in the department's strategic plan, all the issues that we have raised previously around what you call the similar tasks that will be mandates that overlap between the institution, the different institutions will be there too. So for me to raise other issues would be to preempt what we would want to see. Safe to say that most of the issues that we have raised, even in terms of the direction that has been taken in the past, I think we're hoping to see something different. But the issue of whether today we are waiting for the response that we never had, I think for future reference, let us agree that if we had asked for something from the department or from any entity, if it's not ready, it's really not there. Let us agree that we should have been told that the report that you're looking for is not yet there because of the process of the configuration, the process of what you would have termed the response from the cabinet, as the minister had indicated in the past, that there is a correspondence between the department and the cabinet. So that all of us agree and expect the same understanding. For what I gathered is that it seems like the configuration together with the whatever the overhaul that we'll be dealing with is something that is for December. If not December, could be, let's say, when you present the strategy in the next financial year, that's what we are going to expect. So that we don't ask for something that, for things that are not there. We know here is the timeline. We are going to serve some customer many times.
Honorable Kopane.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I'm sorry for being late. Chair, mine is a question of clarity. Have you listened to Mr. Pagati here when you talk about EPWP now being assigned to IDT? I just want to, when you were working with the NGOs, I've heard you talking about the municipalities, because many municipalities are the one engaged with the EPWP. Are you going to work also with the municipality, or you're just focusing on the NGOs? I just wanted to find what are the cost implications on this matter. The general strategy, I've heard that it's supposed to have been there since 2018, but having listened to you and all the report of the previous committee, it indicates that really nothing has happened before. But what I want to find out is, regarding this turnaround strategy plan, how much was budgeted for and how much have you used in terms of the what you alluded to us, engagement with the National Treasury and all those things, if you can tell us. And if I remember, on 2018 November, the 6th of November, both the department IDT, you bring the portfolio committee. That time you were given something about 111 million, and there were certain three conditions that were given to you. Firstly, you were to provide the monthly revenue and expenditure report to the National Treasury within 15 days following the end of each month. What was the progress regarding that? Because if that was done correctly, would have been able every time to see whether you are progressing with your future or not. And one of the things that you were also asked to do, you were to submit the final organizational development review report to the National Treasury by the last of November 2017. Have you done so as we're given the deadline? If maybe you can explain to us. Lastly, when you were talking about the staff members, you only talk about the 45 that have been affected. So along the way, what happened to the rest, if you remove those, what happened to other staff members? Along the way, how many staff members they resign in the process while there's an uncertainty in the organization?
Thanks. The observation, Chair, is that we are on a freestyle because what we expected is not here. So we're going to be all over. We'll even discuss examples. Now, my suggestion is that DM, ordinarily, I think it was on the first week of this month that this program came to you and the invitation went to yourself. Ordinarily, when you receive the invitation, you respond to it, write to us. I think at times, there won't be any need for you to come and appear before us. If you give us documents, we'll read them, we're happy about it. We don't want to see you. In the ordinary, we want to see progress of things happening. So in the ordinary, if you are able to respond to us and your documents are self-explanatory, you don't need to arrive here now, bring additional information, and as and when we are reading to them, let's avoid this DM. Write to us on time. I think as a committee, who can find, if we are hip about your documents, we don't need to see you. If we come to see you, DJ, because what you are giving us cannot talk to us, hence we want to see you. When I look at your presentation and what we wanted from you today, I thought by this time we'll be out of this meeting. Chair, if probably I was chairing, I'll have arrived at a different conclusion. I'll have summarized this thing, would we have been long gone? I'm not lobbying you to do so, Chair. Now, it goes back to this thing that I'm saying. Please, respect us as a committee, respond to us on time. Your documents must be clear. Where you have recommendations, let us have clear timelines. We'll behave about that. We know, DG, that we'll never have, there's no department that will ever have enough budget. We know that budgets are problematic each and every day. But we just want to be convinced of the Jane and on how you want, you are moving towards. As long as you are sure that you are moving forward, you are not reversing, we will be happy. We as members here, we are not some military police to come here and police you. Our role is to do oversight. Convince us that when you come here, we approve your budget, you use it in the best interest of the country. Then we will accept that. The last time I indicated that in my previous life I worked in an office of an executive authority. I was a parliamentary officer for 3 years. I became a manager in an office of the Minister of Public Works for 3 years before transiting here. So I know spin doctoring. Probably I've been trained better. I know spin doctoring of documents, even an APT. Chair, if we accept, I want to depart from what the CEO was saying. If we accept that, the next meeting we are meeting, it will be the very same hours. If you accept the status quo today, you can as well go to a holiday. Because I can't tell you I can't do this thing now. And you invite me again after 3 months. And the material conditions have not changed. Why do you expect a different outcome? We should ourselves and yourself, GM and DG, understand that our role is to build South Africa together. You have got the technical know-how. Hide nothing from us. Assist us. We might have been voted in. Some of yourself, you have got your permanent employment, and you might be experienced that they can sing. Tomorrow it will be another chain that will reproduce. No. Dear. No. We have been trained from the different angle. And at the right time, we'll unleash. And what we'll unleash will not be good. So let us all try. Assist us such that when we go back to our constituents, we are able to say we are working in Parliament. This should be for the last time that we come here and have a talk shop that is freestyle. You expect us to summarize what you are thinking in this document? No. When there is an invitation, the invitation will be clear. It will direct the meeting. Now we are discussing secondary matters, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable members. Yam and DG, on the issue of the invitation, DG adopted the program here in which your office was here. We adopted the program that said on this date we'll be dealing with this issue. But we are noting that maybe we need to send you and remind you that why are we inviting IDT this second time is to deal with this issue, which is there in the program. And we even updated the program, so that information lies with your good offices. As much as I've had the verbal presentation now, not the written presentation as we expected. Remember, DM and DG, this is not a new thing. But one thing that must be in your mind is that it is not a new thing. It is part of the legacy report. And these time frames and this meeting with GTEC, they are there. Some of the meetings were held in 2017, some of the meetings were held in 2018. So that is why you are going to be impatient, because you want to check into how far you. Because to me, I think, TM, you have stated clearly, In fact, you are moving, if we talk of speed of a car, we're moving go 20. We're moving with 20. It can't be proper that we'll go through to the end of this term not having done anything in transforming IDT. That would be failing the people of South Africa that have voted for us to be here. So that is why we are going to be on your heels on this one. We're going to sit at the committee and again set up another date. We want movement. We understand that you said that because there's a new mandate with public works now, that of infrastructure, maybe IDT is going to be more relevant now, but we're going to be on your heels. It can't be that we will go to the end of the financial year. Nothing that has happened. No. I think on that note, I support all the members that have said that. On that note, I support all the members that have said that. We need to pick up speed. We need to pick up speed on this very issue. We need to pick up speed. I will then hand over to you, Michelle Masse, for today. Must bear with us. We can't chase you out for today. But next time, if you come here and you're not ready, we'll chase you out. But for today, we won't do that. Due to what you said, DM. So for today, we won't chase you out. I will give you a few minutes to respond, then we will sum up the meeting.
Thanks very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. The issue of the IDT and then the EPWP function. The IDT is implementing the EPWP function as one of the implementing bodies. Municipalities are still also implementing bodies and also other organizations. But maybe CEO, what you should do here to spell out in terms of the cost related matters as per the question of this EPWP. I know that we have sent you a tranche of money and also the management fee that you normally charge. And then also, maybe we should, Honorable Chair, this is one of the programs of the department to ensure that we should be the first ones to give the IDT jobs, not necessarily wait for other clients. So we took a decision that the IDT must be able to do work also from public works and infrastructure national, not necessarily all waiting for client departments. I think also in the next round of presentations, when we engage, we'll actually indicate as to which part of the functions of the department may be relevant to the IDT to do in the light of the configuration that is taking place. CEO, do you mind to address that question?
Thanks, DG. I was going to maybe through the chairperson make a request. From experience chair, I think the information required by the members needs figures and numbers which needs to be fairly accurate. And the information that's available, I can get it perhaps by latest tomorrow or even before the end of today. Just to give a sense of how much we're spending on the EBITDA, which we're dealing with in non-state sectors, as I indicated, the DG is correct. We've got a number of sectors within the APWP. We've got the non-state sector, for social sector, for economic sector, infrastructure. So that's what we're dealing with the NPOs. So I'll give you how much our targets, what much is the budget, and out of that, how much is for managing the program, that is the administration of the program. And also, similarly, I was going to do that, I said earlier on the staff turnover issues, staff vacancies. I think in order for you to get a sense of the impact of the OD process, I'll give the 18-19 figures from April to March, and then from March this year to date, so that you have a sense of what has been the movement, the reason for such termination due to resignations or GSP or whatever. I think that information we have, I think we had it prepared when we were coming for the APP. But I can actually compile it as well if I remember first part.
Yeah. Once more, thank you, Chairperson. I think that your last point will go a long way in helping us as a department to focus when having to come here and appear before the committee. But I do want to comment on EPWP, especially the part that says people are exploited. Because, look, EPWP is much as one would say it's a job creation, because people then go to work, but it's more a poverty alleviation mechanism, more than anything else. If one interacts with communities, one will realize the extent to which people, they actually fight to be on that program. They actually cry to be on that program. And therefore, for me, we really must not look at it from a job creation angle more than a poverty alleviation angle. And that is what it is meant for. Actually, it received an award. I was away the other week to go and accept that award. Not from us as a country, from other countries, having joined the IPU, Interparliamentary Union, the UNDP, the ILO, and two other foundations, international foundations, together with the World Future Organization, which is a youth body international. They
they came together to look at policies across the world, which policies help young people. And EPWP receives a bronze award, was number 3, as a policy that helps and mitigates against poverty. We were with members of parliament here, the speaker and others were there as witnesses to the fact that the world sees this program as an important program to mitigate. It does not solve, but it mitigates poverty. So it is important that indeed its management is up to standard. It is managed properly. It is spread out to communities in a manner that assists those communities. So it will be important that the kind of reports and stats that we provide are adequate for us to be able to measure the impact and see if is it really exploitation or is it mitigation. We take note of the fact that the responses must be on time. I think that now I'm also going to be on my own staff to be up to standard in terms of what reports are needed at what time, and so that we are able to view and apply our minds properly on the reports. But Chair, let's appreciate the fact that truly for the kind of expectation that the members had in terms of the content of the report, it is at this stage difficult to say really. It will sound a bit awkward. No, we are writing to cabinet. I think that one sentence would have been the only sentence which would have been even more disastrous. At least now that we have been able to explain the processes, but also the timelines, will help focus management on the steps they also need to work on, so that the lethargy that we are referring to is a thing of the past. We seriously need agile kind of responses and agile staff that is able to respond in a comprehensive way, in an urgent with the sense of urgency that is necessary. So thank you, Chair, for the opportunity, and we will try when we get back to get our house in order. Thank you, Chair.
Let me again appreciate the contributions that have been made by the honourable members, their frankness in raising issues in this meeting. I really appreciate that. The honest answers that we got from DM and the team. But I just want to raise issues when we close this. One, I think we all agree that the department this time did not bring what we wanted. They have stated why they could not do that, but what we want is to see how far we go with transforming IDT. I think we've also agreed that to us as the committee, we feel that the department is moving at a certain pace. I think that's what you all are saying. If you look at that, this issue was started as early as 2012, the issue of transforming according to the report that we got, the legacy report. So we are appealing to you, DM and DJ, to put your house in order, to move on this one, to ensure this is done and is treated with the agency that it is, that it deserves. I think the issue that IDT now is coordinating EPWP, to some of us, which was new today, we've been dealing with you on the issue of EPWP, but we didn't want to go through that and ask how is it, but we don't have a problem with that, but I don't know whether is IDT going to come back, because we have invited EPWP. Remember, there were serious issues that were raised by EPWP, and as such, on the 6th of November, we'll be dealing with EPWP. Remember, there is a cry out there of EPWP. Even AG has lifted up issues on EPWP. So even when we went for oversight, we assumed that we want EPWP to be here, that directorate within the department. So we don't know whether we'll be bringing also IDT on that day for its role in the EPWP. But I want to agree on one issue here that has been raised by DM, that when we deal with the transformation of IDT, we don't want IDT, we want the department, because it is the department that is dealing with that. So next time, when we want to deal with this issue, we can't expect CEO to tell us about what he is doing, because it's your role, the department, so we that one of them must continue doing what they're doing now. But this one, I think it's at a higher level. We want answers from you. Thank you again, honorable members. But I would like you to remain so that we deal with the issue of the minute. And we appreciate DM for honoring us. I think DM, I think there was something that was raised about the minister. On Wednesday, the cabinet is sitting. So because our committee sits on Wednesday, I don't think we'll get the minister. It's when we sit on Tuesday that we can get the minister. So there's also that issue. Thank you, DM and DG and the team. Just 2 minutes to stretch your legs, honorable members. The time now is it's 11:55. We're starting.